Hey everyone, welcome back to the Rockcast. Jordan Budd here, and on the line today I have Robbie Denning, gonna talk about the Kryptek Gar Puffy Jacket. Thanks for hopping on, Robbie.
You bet. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. It's here.
It's here. It's Christmas Eve morning at my house.
Yeah, yep, it is here too. So we're gonna talk about the Kryptek Altitude, one of the pieces of their line, and that's I think the biggest, I don't want to call it a downfall, but the biggest thing that people were worried about was the price on them, because it is kind of a higher price, but the fabric's just higher price. Can you touch on kind of what you think about, you know, the price, how the price corresponds with the product, now that you've used some of their products?
Yeah, you bet. When they were researching this line back in, I think it was 1617, you know, Bush was headed over to Europe. I can't remember which one of those countries it was that they're producing it out of. It was a stretch to bring it into the hunting market. But it's a really high quality, high durability, functional nylon, I guess is probably layman terms. And so they got the line launched. The shoulder is not in every single product, but they got the whole line launched, and it just came out more expensive than what they wanted, but they had to get it out there. And then since they've released it, so I think it's been out, I don't know, a year and a half or so, they have worked with, through their supply chain, eliminated some third-party relationships that I guess weren't necessary, and just made the whole delivery chain more efficient. So that brought the prices down quite a bit on the Altitude. And, you know, for example, on this Gar that we're going to do today, I think it was running in the 300s out there.
Yeah.
I don't have the MSRP right in front of me, but you know, it was right around in there. And, now they've got it down at, as low as 180 in some of the sizes. Now that might be their holiday sale, but it doesn't jump up, you know, a lot from that, you know, compared to where it was a year ago. And so the whole line has come down, and it's just, I think that's partly why people are asking us more questions about it.
Definitely. And one thing that when I was looking at their website last night and writing some things down, one thing that's kind of interesting is how many sizes they have. They have sizes from extra small to 3XL. So they have sizes to really fit anyone.
Yeah, I saw that on the Gar. Did that hold true through a lot of their other pieces? I didn't look.
I didn't look at their other pieces, but just that Gar jacket.
Gotcha. Well, I know the Gar has been kind of a forerunner for them, and you know, they're trying to get a lot of people to try it, because once they see just how warm it is, how light it is, how compressible it is, probably willing to try more pieces from the entire Altitude line, you know, for those that aren't just going to jump in and buy the entire system. Because the Altitude line, you know, it's like a lot of the leading manufacturers out there, they offer it as a system, you know, so you have an early season system, and then you've got a, you know, your rain gear system, and, you know, your late season system, you've got all that in there. But that's one reason I wanted to talk about the Gar, is because if you're not going to do the whole system, and you're looking for a lightweight, very warm, fully functional puffy, it's, you know, really geared towards backpackers. I think, even if you didn't jump into the line, this would be a good place to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When did, this is a hoodless puffy. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I got mine back in August, late August. And, I had some high country, mule deer stuff planned, you know, 8,000-9,000 feet, where, you know, you're getting freezing temperatures above timberline, you know, early September, a lot of times, you know, didn't come to for a little later this year, but that's what I was planning on. And so the first thing when I got it was getting used to the no hood system. And I've always gone with hoods.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a First Light user for a long time, and, you know, just kind of got used to using hoods. And, so that at first it was kind of a complaint, like, gosh, how do I run a coat without a hood? But then as I began to wear it, and, I also got their Arma Tech hoodie, which does have a hood, and it's their Arma Fleece hoodie, not their ArmorTech, but their Armor Fleece hoodie. And it, the guy was working with a Cryptech, his name's Chad Ryan, was saying, hey, you know, use those things together. Yeah. Then you're going to have your hood, your hoodie's going to be functional, you know, for most of your hunting in the early season. And then you keep your puffy packed away for if you really get some, you know, drop in temperatures or, you know, early morning glassing sessions where you're just going to be cold. Even if it's, you know, 45 degrees, you're going to be cold. And so that's what I did. That's how I ran it. And then once I got used to, you know, having it with another garment with a hood, then that became a non-issue. I began to understand the whole system, the whole concept of using it in a system. And then I also ran their Tora jacket, and that's got a hood on it. And then I ran their Takura, their rain gear, mm-hmm. and that's got a hood on it. And so the whole idea is going hoodless with your puffy as your insulating layer is you're going to probably have one of these other pieces to run with the hood. And Cryptic is right. It sure is nice only having one hood to mess with, because let's just say it was pretty cold and it was pretty damp and I was running there, the gar, and underneath it, I had that Arma Fleece hoodie. And then I needed to put a rain jacket on over top of it, and in this case they're Takura or, you know, someone else's. Now I've got three hoods in there, and so that's when it began to make sense. And so a guy just needs to think ahead. If he's only going to run the jacket, you know, you need to be running it with you know, hats or you know, net gaiters, you know, stuff like that, because you're not going to have that hood. But there's some good trade-offs in not having the hood. For example, let me go over some of the features on the jacket. Yeah. It's 100% nylon shell. It does have the DWR finish. It's also got the abbreviation, the acronym is CIRE. I don't know how to pronounce it, but I researched it a little bit last night. They didn't have anything on the Cryptic site, but just in the textile industry, it's a process where it's similar to DWR. They're sealing the outside of the garment, and so in my testing, it was water resistant. I don't want to call it waterproof, but it definitely was water resistant. And then it's got hydrophobic down combined with Primaloft Gold. Okay, now Primaloft Gold is different than Primaloft. Primaloft, they just take the fiber and they lay it out and they spray it with a water resistant substance. And so it's just on the outside of the fibers, wherein Primaloft Gold, it's infused into the fibers. And so it's much more water resistant, hydrophobic, you know, it's going to push the water away better than just the standard Primaloft. And so the way that they've done it is it's a mapped coat. That means they've thought about where they've put this insulation. And so the down, which is warmer than just about anything out there, especially per ounce, they've put that primarily throughout the body. So for example, there's a kidney panel on it back in the back where a lot of down is covering up that part of the body where apparently we lose or generate a lot of heat. Imagine the coat has baffles, so you look a little bit like the Michelin Tire Man, but you know, not quite that big of baffles, but you get the idea. So by having those baffles in there, they're able to distribute these insulations into these places. So I've got that kidney panel back there. My words, by the way, I don't know if that's what they really call it, but that's down. Clear up into the back and the body, that's all down right there. But then as you get into the high perspiration areas, like the armpits and the cuffs down around your wrists, and then the shoulders, which those are going to, you know, if you're wearing a pack or anything like that, it's going to overheat you in that. That's where they've gone into the Primaloft. And so it's a good balanced garment in the way it retains heat, but also allows you to put out a pretty good effort and not turn into a sweat bag. And it does work. I mean, I by the way, I wore this thing, not including just casually wearing it to town, which I'll cover in a minute. I probably got 35 or a good honest 40 days on it. Yeah. From mid-September when I started wearing it into early December when we just finished this last muzzleloader hunt. So I've got a lot of time in this jacket. I got more time in this jacket than anything else I wore this fall. Under high exertion, it performed well. Now, you know, if you're climbing 2,000 feet, no, you're going to take your coat off. I mean, it's not that breathable. But, you know, just as far as moving around, you know, going from glassing point to glassing point, maybe steel hunting a little bit, and, you know, just your general effort, I was able to leave it on most of the time. And then you can play with under layers and all that kind of stuff. A lot of the days, if it was, you know, right around freezing and stuff, I just had a base layer and my gar on, and that was really breathable. I mean, that was light, not a lot of layers on. I was able to cover most of anything that I wanted to do. If I was going from, you know, normal hiking where you are perspiring, then going right down to a crawl, like still hunting, like you and I were in some of those places. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to worry about, oh, I'm all sweaty now. Now I'm going to get cold. You know, sometimes that's a problem, but the gar breathed well enough that I didn't have to worry about any of that. And then its weight is, I weighed it. This is a funny thing too. Cryptic doesn't have a lot of weights on their side. I don't understand that. I mean, they're, you know, a premier clothing manufacturer, and sometimes it's hard to find the weights on this stuff. If anybody needs to know more about the Altitude line, we've got a thread going on Rockslide. Look for it in the clothing forum. I think Matt Cashel's hosting it, and I've posted some stuff on there. There's Cryptic actually got onto that thread and listed a bunch of these weights. But for the gar itself, it's at 15.9 ounces on my scale. Compare that to the other puffy I had here was a First Light puffy, and it was 20 ounces. So about 4 ounces less. Some of that is the hood, but you know, that First Light hood's pretty thin. I doubt it's a 4 ounce hood. So, you know, you're saving weight in other places in the jacket. But the gar is more compressible too. Like, I compressed them both down and just laid them out. And then I just tried to find common household objects to compare them to. And like a 5 pound bag of flour is about what the gar compressed down to. But the First Light Puffy, it was about 20-25% bigger as far as compression goes. And so that was sort of how I kind of really started liking the gar. And when I started taking it up in the high country where you and I were going, you know, you're just not quite sure, is it going to be, am I going to be sitting for 2 hours today? Am I going to need my puffy? You know, oh, I probably don't. So I'll just leave it in the tent. And then you get up there and you're sitting for 4 hours and you're freezing. So it was great to have it small enough to, you know, just be able to put it in my pack. And yeah, I packed it a lot of days where I didn't wear it, but it just, with it being that small, you just didn't notice it was there. It's got a 2-pocket system in the front, lower hand pockets. And they're very generous. Partly because the coat folds into the pockets, but it's just nice to have a pocket where you can put your hands inside of it, even if you've got your gloves on. They are zippered pockets, you know, the whole YKK, you know, closed loop zipper, whatever they call that. And good zippers, and you know, and crappy gear, that's usually the first thing I notice that goes out, and no zipper problems this year at all. And then it's got an inside left pocket that's also zippered, and it's pretty generous too. I've got the old iPhone 6S. They're pretty big. I could get that in there. I could get my, you know, my navigation stuff in there. My little InReach. I got the InReach Mini. You know, a small pair of glove liners. You know, it's a generous enough pocket. So I've got a 3-pocket system in there, and yet still compresses down to that size. And so we were talking about, you know, going without the hood and, you know, its insulation properties and everything. And so what I find is, you know, without running it without a hood, as long as I'm carrying, you know, something else that has a hood on it, it's a good trade-off. And there was something I didn't really realize, Jordan, is, you know, when we started getting, you know, precipitation and everything, I wear a Stetson crushable wool hat, and because it's got a brow or a rim that goes all the way around the hat. So not just over my face, but it protects, you know, my ears and, you know, from precipitation going down my neck and everything. Well, I guess I never really thought about it, that once I'm wearing that, I can't wear a hood. And so all these other puffies and jackets I've worn over the years, really the hood, I'm only wearing it when there's not that much precipitation because I put that other hat on. And that covers me for a hood and for warmth and everything. So it was nice with the gar to not, again, you know, not have another hood to mess with. When the snow was falling or rain, I would just put on that Stetson and that would cover me. So, I guess my whole point on the hood is some guys, I mean, if you've ran a jacket without a hood before and you just hate it, then don't buy it. But if you're willing to be open-minded about it and think about how you're running this system or running this jacket, if you're not running it in their system and you always have a hood along anyways, or, you know, neck gaiter, something like that, then you're going to be fine. You're going to save a little space and a little weight. But it is really truly meant to be ran as their system. And so I'm kind of playing both sides of the fence here, 'cause I know how a lot of guys think. A lot of guys are just like, okay, if it's a good system, I'm going to buy it top to bottom, and then I don't have to think. Everything's there. Hey, if the funds allow that, do it. That's the best way to do it right there. Then everything's functioning as it should. But I also know there's a whole bunch of guys out there that are like, yeah, I just want to have a really good puffy. I'm not so worried about the pattern. You know, I just it needs to work for what I do. And again, with these being down, you know, under $200 now in all sizes, you know, there's going to be, I think, a lot of guys that'll jump over to this. And so, so just think it through and understand that, you know, not having a hood has its place and having a hood has its place. And I figured out how to use this one just fine without the hood.
Gotcha. So if somebody was looking for a jacket, just one jacket, like one putt, they were going to have one puffy jacket for all of their hunts, early to late season, is this one that you would recommend?
It is. As long as they've answered the question on, am I a hood user or am I not a hood user? Do I have a way to run this jacket and be covered on hoods because I'm either running a rain jacket or some type of other hoodie underneath it as a mid layer, and/or my whole hat system is going to cover me on that, then yes, I wore mine, Jordan, from when you and I were hunting in the high country all the way into December on that muzzleloader hunt. And, on that muzzleloader hunt, that was kind of a funny hunt. It was cold, you know, single digits in the morning to low teens, and stayed that way, you know, clear in the middle part of the day because it was cloudy, so you weren't getting any, you know, radiation from the sun. And plus the deer were on the winter range. And so, you know, we're not hiking up to 10,000 feet or riding horses into the backcountry. It's not that kind of hunt. It's more of, I'm going to sit back on this road and I'm going to look at 3 miles of mountain range right here with my BTXs or, you know, my Maven 15s, whatever I was doing at that time. And I may be stationary longer than on any hunt that I'm ever on. And plus, I don't have any heating going on of, you know, hiking up the hill every morning. And so I ended up using this as actually a mid layer, and I would pull the Cryptic Velus anorak over the top of it, and it also again has a hood. So that's where I was starting to really appreciate this no hood thing on the gar, because I'm like, now it's a great mid layer, and then I can pull the anorak over top of it, and then I'm warm. You know, even though we're in the truck, you know, it's hard to run the heater in the truck when you're trying to glass because it vibrates your glass. And, you know, then at halftime you end up out of the truck, you know, sitting out in the sagebrush 25 yards away from the truck because you can't get the right angle. And so that worked really well. And then when we started hiking, if it's like, okay, we're going to go over here, I'm going to head up there, I could just pull that Velus off, and now I'm right down to my gar and my base layer, and I'm good to go. And so, you know, long answer again to your question, like I always do, yes, I think you can use it early season into late, and it could be a one puffy man with it.
Cool. And that kind of leads me into the next question, is bulkiness on your body. You know, you talked about putting the Velus over the top of it. Did it compress the jacket down a lot, having another jacket over the top of it, like a, you know, like that Velus, or, you know, when we were in the high country, we had rain jackets on. How was it that way?
It's fine. I don't think it's over bulky, and this is probably a good good segue to lead into sizing.
Yeah.
Always, whether you're buying Cryptic or not, always use the company's sizing chart. I mean, it's okay to jump on a website and jump on an Oxlide and say, hey, how's this? Is it true to size? But I still think you need to use their sizing chart. And I have a great relationship with Cryptic, and I still jumped on there and used their sizing chart. I didn't just go off of past garments that I've worn and stuff. And so I ended up with their medium gar. All right. So with their medium gar, they advertise this as an athletic cut, which I think just means a little bit narrower waist on it, kind of more of a tapered fit, which adds to its sleekness, or, you know, however you want to do that. Now, unfortunately, I'm not an athletic build. I'm more of a SpongeBob build. I'm pretty much square. And so it was a little tight on my waist. It was snug on me. So it, to your question, turning it into a mid layer and wearing over garments, what wasn't a problem at all. It's not over bulky. I was right on the kind of the edge on the sizing chart of going to a large. But as I thought it through, I thought, well, I'm going to be wearing the Tacour for my outer layer, possibly the Cryptic Velus. So I'm going to go a little bit on the tighter side. But you might size up if you're right on the border of a, you know, medium to a large, or a large to an extra large. If you're thinking going heavy on the base layers and this always being your outer layer, I think each person is just going to kind of have to think that through. But for me, the medium was a little on the snug side, still fit. But the way I wore it, with nothing more than a base layer underneath it, and then when it got really cold, it became a mid layer. It was just fine. I wouldn't say it's over bulky at all. Comparing it to a First Light Puffy, I think it's sixes. I really do. I mean, maybe a First Light Puffy doesn't look as bulky because it doesn't have the baffles. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you know, you're a little bit Michelin tire man with this one, but I don't think there was any more space taken up with that gar than there was a First Light.
Cool. How was the size? Did the sizing that you used for this gar jacket run consistent with the whole altitude line?
I think it did. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I ended up with mediums, and because I had the Arma fleece and I had the Armatec hoodie, and all that ran in medium. So yeah, I think it was pretty consistent across the board.
Gotcha. What about the durability of that outer?
Okay, durability, with all these days on it, I went through it last night, and up on the collar I have, you know, your collar's a pretty high wear area. There's no wear on the collar whatsoever. And the whole body and everything, I found one hole in the back. It looks like I backed into a sharp stick. Who knows? I mean, you know, you're around trucks and horse trailers. Mm-hmm. Who knows what it was? Just a small hole about the size of the end of your pinky. And by the way, Tenacious tape works wonderful.
Doesn't it?
For any repairs. Oh yeah, it's flipping awesome. And it really worked well on this car, because this hole that's on the back I'm talking about, I found it a couple months ago, and it was just leaking goose down, you know, a little bit. So I went and put that over it. I've washed it since then. It's just, you can't even tell it's there. So I had that one little hole. And then in the front last night when I was inspecting it, I hadn't even seen this, one loose thread in one of my baffles. Can't even find it right now. It is loose. It probably about 1 inch of it came undone. And, but it stopped itself. I haven't done anything to it. I think it's, it may have been that way for a long time, because I haven't hunted in 3 weeks. And so, but it's not going anywhere. So, you know, obviously it's wearing, you know, there's some wear on it. And I have one scratch in it. That's kind of the cool thing about the nylon is, you know, you got to get right in there to tear it. And it looks like I have rubbed up on the front here and kind of scratched the nylon, but it's not even to the point that it needs a piece of Tenacious tape. And then on the right sleeve, this is not Cryptic's fault. I stuck my arm too far into my little Seek Outside XL stove one morning. Didn't have enough coffee in me yet. I wasn't really awake. And it looks like I held my sleeve cuff against the titanium stove, and I burned back. Oh, I mean, bad. This is a 3/4 inch by 2 inch hole that I burned in it. And it was right at the beginning of the hunt. I think it was there like 5 or 6 days. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have stuffing all over the place. And it's the Primaloft gold part. There's no down right there. Well, amazingly enough, the filling stayed in there until I got home. And I put the Tenacious tape on it. And that's been on there a long time. In fact, I'm on my second round of Tenacious tape, and it's, you know, down on the cuff. So, you know, it's getting a lot of wear, you know, in and out of your other jackets, and, you know, in and out of the truck, on and off the horse, you know, how your sleeves wear out. Yeah. And it wore through that Tenacious tape. And now I'm on my second round of Tenacious tape, but no leaked stuffing. And so it's very repairable in the event that you do pull a Robbie and pull a stupid and burn your coat. So good stuff. One other thing I would say about it, I have washed it once, and I followed the instructions right on it. Tumble dry low, and I did, and it just did not really puff up. And I don't remember how long I ran it, 30, 40 minutes. And I noticed it took about a day for it to get its loft back. And, you know, the down, I probably just was not able to remove all of the moisture from the down. So, you know, I was wearing it. I just noticed that it's still a little flat, but I just kept shaking it. And after about a day, it went right back to full loft, you know. So I wouldn't wash it the night before you leave and get up in the morning and put on a damp coat. You may lose some insulating properties until you get that coat fully dry.
Gotcha. Well,
so
that's,
I think that's everything, Jordan, I got on here. Flashable, compressible, let's see, size right. Let's see. I did note the temperatures I wore it in. I have a little thermometer at all my camps, and I wore it between 3 degrees and 40 degrees. And on the morning that I hunted 103 degree weather, it was just still hunting some really steep country. I could not move very fast. I mean, it's cold. The next step up from sitting as far as coldness goes, you know, you're just not generating a lot of heat. I wore the Gar, and then I wore my Takur rain jacket over it. That's for another podcast. And I was cold. I could tell it was 3 degrees out there, but, you know, as far as core temperature and all that other stuff, really the only thing that was getting cold was my face, you know, core temperature, arms. It was fine. But I was probably getting down to, you know, the limits of the system right there. But that's it. That's everything I got on it. So if anybody's got any questions, Jordan will have you'll have a thread up on this, right, Jordan?
Definitely. Yep. Yep. I always post them in the Rock Cast.
Yeah.
Thread, I guess. What would you call that? Just it's completely its own section, and
it's a sub forum.
Sub forum, and I post all of the episodes on there, and then we can do discussions, and it seems to be really helpful.
Yeah, so that's a great way to kind of link up with people Jordan's had on the podcast, because you know how it is. No matter how long we talk, there's always some user out there. Hey, but what about the, you know, we didn't answer that. Well, jump onto Rock Slide. The Rock Cast is its own sub forum on the main forum page. Find the episode, and I'll go in and subscribe to this episode so that I actually get a notification if anybody posts on there. You know, I don't have to wait for Jordan to find me and, hey, this guy's got a question. And yeah, happy to help anybody I can on this. And just as far as the whole altitude line, Matt Cashel is going to do a full review on this. I think that's coming right up. And I just did the Gar. He's got all the pieces, and he's going to touch on all of those. And there's a thread on Rockslide going on that. Just do a search. There's a little search button up in the upper right hand corner once you get on your forums, and just a great way to learn about this system. And, you know, from what I've used it, I can recommend it. And now that it's, you know, pretty price competitive, man, you really need to take a hard look at this system.
Yeah, and I'll have Matt on to talk about the whole system as well as soon as his review comes out, or maybe even before it. One other question I guess I had on it quick was, how did you like the length, and was there a tail in the back that was a little bit longer than the front?
Yeah, and like I said, I ended up at the medium. I probably could have gone to a large, but the length hit me right at the waist, you know, where a jacket should. And there is a tail, and I'm looking at it right now. I would say that tail goes down about 3 inches lower than the front. And I thought it was just right. Not too long, but, you know, it's covering up that ever-important area that that people say you lose a lot of heat back there, or you generate a lot of heat around the kidneys and the low back and everything. It's definitely covering up all that. And you're not just sitting there glassing and feeling a breeze go up your back. It's long enough.
Great. Well, I'll link to everything in the show notes. And thanks for talking about it, Robbie.
You bet, Jordan. Merry Christmas.